Sunshine, which is good. Just hearing Brian talk about quiet revival, I just wanted to share a story that's happened in Jubilee recently. About a year ago, I was at a children's birthday party, and it was at a soft play. And what happens at children's parties is all of the mums sit together and chat, and any dads that are there sit on their own and look at their phones. All right, and at this particular one, there was only one table spare, and I was already sat looking at my phone. So when another dad walked in, we had a really awkward moment where I had to put my phone down and engage in conversation with a stranger. So as we got chatting, he said, "Oh, what do you do?" I said, "Oh, well, I work for a church. I'm a pastor." And he looked at me and he went, "Okay, I've got some questions for you." Oh no. And what had happened was his daughter, who is 7 years old, had come home from school one day and said, "Dad, I want to go to church." And the dad was like, "I have no idea. I've never set foot in a church in my life." So he went along to the local Catholic church, and they went for 3 weeks, and he thought, this can't be right. And it was after that week that he met me at the soft play. He said, "Can anyone come to your church?" I was like, "Yeah, of course." He's like, "Okay, I'm going to bring my daughter to your church next Sunday." He said, "I'm not a believer, by the way. I'm an atheist, but I'm going to bring my daughter." So this was around about a year ago. I think it was in June last year. He came in on a Sunday morning, and his seven-year-old daughter, after about 10 minutes, said, "This is my church." And I saw the dad's face, and he was like, "Okay, darling, let's get to the end of the service first." Anyway, as it went on, the dad actually started enjoying coming to church. And we went through the summer, and we got to September. And he said, "Okay, I've been playing Sunday League football for 15 years. This will be my last Sunday coming to church, because the season is about to start." And he was right. The next week, he didn't come to church. And the week after that, he came to church again. He said, "I got to football, and I realised I missed church. I wanted to be at church." So after 15 years, every single Sunday, playing Sunday League football, this dad, because of his seven-year-old daughter, started coming to church. Wonderful. He's since done Alpha Course, been baptised, and led us in worship a few weeks ago at our small group. Isn't God good? Yeah. Quiet revival, a seven-year-old bringing her dad to church. Anyway, that wasn't in my notes, but I thought I would tell you that after Brian. Just give you a quick update from Jubilee. Things are going well at Jubilee. We're about to start a building project, which is exciting. We're upgrading our old Methodist church building to be fit and modern and usable by the community. We're going to be putting in a new heating system, taking the pews out. Anyone who's been will be ready for the heating system. And we're going to make it a place which can make a difference to Stockton. And we're really excited about that. I did have a picture somewhere that you might see. There it is. That's how it's going to look, apparently. I don't know why everyone looks so pale, but that's how it's going to look.
It's still cold.
The problem is, though, this building project has been amazing. I mean, God has been so good. We've had lots of money come in through grants and things like that. But my role has changed significantly in the last few months. You see, I used to be a pastor, and I used to preach the gospel, and I used to meet people and help people grow in their faith. But in the last 6 months, I've become an interior designer, because I spend my days picking out paint swatches and looking at carpets. And I'm thinking, God's got a sense of humour, hasn't he? Because this stuff does not interest me at all. But there we go. So God has got a sense of humour. Anyway, today, Melissa's asked me to continue your new series looking at foundations. Some of the foundational things we believe as Christians. I think she put it as covering the basics. And this is so encouraging to hear, because we should never forget the foundations of our faith. We should never forget the things that we believe fundamentally. And the thing about the Bible is that it is a living and breathing word of God, isn't it? And whether you're reading it for the first time or the 100th time, there's always something new in it, isn't there? There's always something new in it. God can always reveal new things to us, even in the familiar. And Jesus tells us to build our lives on solid foundations, doesn't he? And those foundations come from the Word of God. So whether you've been a Christian for 2 weeks or 60 years, if you revisit the basics, you can guarantee you'll learn something new. You'll guarantee that God will still speak to you. So, going over the basics is really fundamentally important, and I hope you're going to enjoy this few months you spend going over it. Today I've been given the small topic of what hope do we have in the resurrection? And I've wasted 5 minutes telling you a story, so I better get on with it. We're going to read together from 1 Corinthians 15, just going to read a few verses of it. And I've got the words on the screen as well. So, if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Mm-hmm. What a passage. So in terms of background here, the Apostle Paul is addressing some incorrect teaching which is sneaking into the church in Corinth. And this teaching said that the resurrection of Jesus didn't actually happen. People didn't believe that dead people could be raised. Essentially, they were saying Jesus' teaching was good, his moral lessons were worth following. We even liked his miracles, but we can't believe in his resurrection. And this had started to creep in the church. People in the church had started to believe this idea. We love Jesus, but we stop short of believing in his resurrection. It was like they were getting half of the gospel message. They were getting all of the good stuff about Jesus, but they were missing the part when Jesus rose from the dead. They understood that Jesus died, but they didn't get the part about him rising from the dead. And in many ways, it's kind of similar to what we see in culture today. You might see this. Lots of people in the world today hold Jesus in high esteem, don't they? Lots of people like the teaching of Jesus. They recognise that he's a good man, but they stop short of agreeing that he raised from the dead. We see that in other religions too. Think about Islam, for example. They love Jesus. They love his teaching, but they don't believe that he rose from the dead. We see it in lots of other religions too. They only believe half the message. So Paul wrote this passage to try and address that and say, does the resurrection matter? What hope do we have because of the resurrection? This is a foundational, important thing that Paul needed to get right as he was writing to this church. You see, the resurrection of Jesus is a significant event. It's an event which is mentioned in all four Gospels. It's mentioned in Acts, Paul's letters, Hebrews, 1 Peter, Revelation. It's been discussed by every Christian from the beginning of time. It's been written about and sang about and argued about. The resurrection is fundamental. It's fundamental. It's so important to what we believe. Paul's saying in this passage that our faith is useless without the resurrected Christ. Can we see how important this is? Paul gets really strict in this passage. Verse 14, he says, if Christ has not been raised, then all of our preaching is useless. Pulling no punches there, my sort of preacher. He's saying that if you're a Christian who believes that Jesus was a good teacher, but that he didn't rise from the dead, well, that you're not a Christian at all. You can't be a Christian unless you believe and accept in the resurrection of Jesus. It all depends on the resurrection being true. Do we believe that?
Yes.
Why is the resurrection important though? What hope do we have? Let me give you a few bits of information from this passage which will hopefully encourage you. I know you know this, but it'll hopefully encourage you. The first point is this. In verse 17, Paul says that if Christ has not been resurrected, then you are still dead in your sins. Without the resurrection, you're still dead in your sins. But as Christians, we believe the opposite of that. As Christians, we can be assured that Christ's resurrection means our victory over sin. The resurrection means victory. You see, as Jesus hung on the cross on Good Friday, it did look like the end. It looked like a terrible end to the story. Jesus looked like a fraud, defeated and hanging on the cross. But that's not the end of the story. God stepped in from nowhere. The resurrection is good news because this is God stepping in and winning victory from the jaws of defeat. It's one of those special moments where someone steps in at the very last second and the ending of the story becomes very different. That's what we see here. Now, I'm sorry to use a footballing analogy if we've got some non-football fans here, but bear with me, all right? About a year ago, we had a football match taking place in Gelsenkirchen in Germany, all right? England versus Slovakia at Euro 2024. Does anyone remember this game? Any football fans? A couple of us do. Slovakia are winning the game, going into the last seconds, all right? England were about to lose. One of the greatest shocks in world football was about to happen. The highly favoured England were about to lose to Slovakia. But with the very last kick of the ball, we see Jude Bellingham score an overhead kick. One of the greatest goals you can score in football. And within the seconds, the disappointment turns to victory. The defeat turns to joy. And the ending of the story is different. The newspaper headlines are rewritten. The failure becomes success. And we all start believing that we're going to be champions. Now, imagine that, but a million times better. And that is God stepping in at the last second and raising Jesus from the dead on that first Easter morning. Theologian Tom Wright says this, N.T. Wright. He says, "We believe that Jesus' death was not a messy, tragic accident, but the surprising victory of God over all the forces of evil." Why is the resurrection important? Because it is a victory. It's God's power at work, and it means that we're headed for redemption and not disaster. Because Jesus defeated the grave, because he came back from the dead, heaven invaded earth, and the ending of the story becomes very different. Who believes that?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a gospel message, isn't it? We're separated from God because of the wrong things that we do. The Bible calls it sin, and it brings a massive barrier between us and God. And the result of that barrier is eternal separation from God. But God steps in. He defeats the grave. Heaven invades earth. And suddenly, the ending of the story is different. Suddenly, there's another way. The story doesn't have to end in the same way. We don't need... Someone's phone is ringing. You don't have to answer it, you know. It's all right.
Sounds like that.
It's not my phone. I better just check that. It's not my phone. All right. Listen, the story doesn't need to end in the same way. We no longer head for disaster because we're Christians, because Jesus defeated the grave. Now we've got a glorious future. There is hope for us. And as it says later on in this passage, verse 55, we didn't read it, but it says, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" That's a victory that we celebrate because of the resurrection. Let me just remind you of the flip side of that. If there's no resurrection, then today you're still dead in your sins. You're not sitting there as a free person. There's no forgiveness for you. All of this is pointless. Encouraging, right? Listen, because of his resurrection, we know that we stand in victory. Anyone excited by that?
Yes.
Come on. So we've got a victory. The second thing that the resurrection assures us of is a promise of a glorious future. Listen, life isn't just about what happens now. We need an eternal perspective as well. Life's not just about it here and now. Verse 18 says, if there's no resurrection, then those who've fallen asleep, those who've died in Christ, are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Basically, he's saying, if there's no resurrection, then death is the end. And there's no future. And there's no promise of heaven. There's a few years here on earth, and that's it. Nothing else. Imagine how depressing that is. A few years on earth and nothing else. Let me ask you, do you ever think about the fact that you'll spend eternity with God? You'll spend eternity with God. The result of Jesus rising from the dead, the result of the resurrection, is that we can be in a relationship with him. And that means we can experience heaven. We can experience eternal life. The alternative doesn't bear thinking about, does it? We get eternity with God. And this is something which should change everything about our lives. Why? Because it gives us hope. And Hebrews 6:19 calls this hope the anchor for our souls. The thing that keeps us grounded and secure. Maybe you're suffering with an illness and finding life hard. There's hope for you. And you've got a glorious future. Maybe you're nearing the end of your life. You've got a glorious future. Maybe life's been tough for you. Maybe you've struggled with addiction or something similar. You know somebody who has. There is a glorious future. And we can look forward to a heaven where there's no pain, no suffering, no sadness, no illness. Just complete freedom in the presence of Jesus. Isn't that just amazing? You know, this hit home for me a couple of years ago during COVID. And we had a guy in Jubilee called Paul Cummins. I think I've got him on the screen. There's Paul. Paul was a single guy. He was a widower who lived on his own, and he had some problems with alcohol in the past and some mental health issues. Paul was an interesting guy. He was like quirky, I might call him. And the thing about Paul is that he didn't really understand church, so he used to just shout stuff out during church. He had questions about the sermon, so he would just shout them out. He also used to request worship songs. We'd be a minute away from starting, and he'd put his hand up and say, "Can we sing this one this morning?" Like it was some sort of karaoke bar or something. It was hilarious. He didn't quite get church, but me and Paul really hit it off. We just clicked. I absolutely loved him. And the thing about Paul was that he absolutely loved Jesus. He had this favourite worship song. He would ask for it every week. It was called "Raise a Hallelujah." And he would stand in church with his arms out, lost in wonder, singing, "I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me." And do you know what? Paul wasn't the most intellectual guy. He wouldn't have a big debate about theology, but he was certain that he loved Jesus and Jesus loved him. Anyway, during COVID lockdowns, COVID restrictions, Paul used to phone me every evening. Right on bath time for my children. It was a nightmare. He used to phone me and we used to chat about life, about faith, about all sorts of things. Every single day he would call me. And in about 3 months into lockdown, he didn't ring me one day, which was a bit strange. And then the next day he didn't ring me again, and I was trying to text him and there was no answer. And it turns out that Paul had died in his flat on his own. And I remember grieving and feeling really sad. Going to his funeral where there was only 30 people allowed, we couldn't even celebrate his life, and sitting there at the back with my mask on and just getting so upset. But then in that moment, I pictured Paul, not in sadness, but standing as he had done in church many times, raising his hallelujah to Jesus he loved. And I remembered that Paul was enjoying that glorious future that we will all one day get to look forward to. And suddenly my grieving turned to worship because I remembered the hope that I have in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Listen, this is a message that that speaks right into our culture, because we need to have an eternal perspective. In our culture right now, people want everything instantly, don't they? Instant meals, instant answers through the internet, instant deliveries from Amazon, instant films through Netflix or whatever. There's a feeling that life's about now. Live in the moment. And listen, that is an attractive message. If there's no hope for the future and there is no heaven, then that is a perfectly acceptable message. Live for the moment. But actually, life's about much more than that. We believe in a God who defeated the grave, who says that one day we'll be with him for eternity. And in light of that promise, we choose not to live by the moment, but fix our eyes on the future. Fix our eyes on heaven. Life is not just about the moment. Yes, you can enjoy the moment, but you enjoy it with an eternal perspective. And that changes things. It changes how we deal with suffering. It changes how we deal with disappointment, with conflict. It changes everything because life isn't about what happens right now, but about our future with God. So what hope do we have? Well, first of all, we have a victory that we live in. Secondly, we've got a glorious future. Thirdly, because of the resurrection, we can be courageous and steadfast. We didn't read it, but further on in the passage, verse 30, Paul says, "And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I face death every day, yes, just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord." See, Paul was in a situation where he was in danger every time he preached the gospel. Every time he preached the gospel, he was in danger. There was opposition to Christianity. The Jews and the Romans, they didn't want this message to spread. They didn't want this Jesus revolution to happen. So every time Paul preached, he was risking his life. And Paul's saying, if there's no resurrection, why do I bother? Why risk my life? Why don't I just sit on the beach with a cocktail? Why do I bother risking my life? And that's a really good point. Why do we face hardship in this life if there's no resurrection? Because being Christian is hard, isn't it? Living counterculturally is difficult. And all of that's pointless without the resurrection. But of course, the promise that we get from the resurrection is that it is all worth it. All of the opposition we get for sharing our faith is all worth it. The effort that we put into sharing our faith with others and leading people to Christ is that it's worth it because we point people towards freedom. And that allows us to be steadfast. It gives us courage and boldness to share our faith. We should have courage and boldness to take God's love to those who don't experience his love elsewhere, because we can show them the promise that they can have. Listen, the resurrection is the very reason that we step out and take the good news to a world that so desperately needs to hear it. Yeah, it's because of the resurrection. That's why we're bold in talking about him. Because there's people in the world who just need that hope. Last week, we've had a bit of a situation at Jubilee where we've had these kids from the local area, teenagers from like a Czech, Slovakian community, and they've come into our Sunday mornings and they just cause absolute chaos. Like they come in and they shout things out, they run around, they cause us all sorts of problems. It's been going on for a while now. And we made a decision a few months ago as a church. It was a ridiculously silly decision. But we said, we're going to welcome these kids rather than kick them out. It was a daft decision because now our Sunday mornings are just wild. There's kids everywhere. We run this Wednesday night drop-in and there's over 40 kids just turning up non-churched because we've decided to welcome these guys and not kick them out. Anyway, last week I was doing a Sunday school with the teenagers and all of these kids came in. And I thought, these guys have not got a very long attention span. I've got like 2 minutes to, you know, give them a positive message. So I thought off the top of my head and I was like, right, I'm going to ask that classic question. If it turns out there is a God after all, and you can ask him one question, what would it be? All right, that was my question to them. So I went around the room and the first girl who spoke was one of these young Czech girls, maybe 12 years old, chaotic lifestyle, always out on the streets. Without hesitating, she says, "I would ask God if he cares about me." And it kind of broke my heart Because I realised that these kids need Jesus. And we need to be the ones introducing him to them. And suddenly, all of the effort of having to clean up on Wednesday nights for all of their mess that they make, and all of the annoyance that we get Sunday mornings when they're running around during our service, all of that becomes worth it because these guys need Jesus. They need to know that God cares about them. You see, because of the resurrection of Jesus, we can be sure that we've got good news to bring. And that good news gives us courage to share with others. Listen, for us in Jubilee at the moment, it's those kids, but for you guys, it's someone else, your neighbours or people that you come across in the supermarket or your families, whoever it is. We've got a message of hope to share, and we should go out of our way to do it with boldness and with courage because of the resurrection. Very last bit, I've nearly done. The final part of this. In spite of the opposition that Paul faced, he chose to stand. And the resurrection gives us the ability to do the same. We choose to stand in our faith, no matter what life looks like, because of the hope we find in the resurrection. What difference does the resurrection make to our lives? Well, it means that we stand in the face of difficulties. Life's not easy. We face suffering and hardship. But as Christians, we can choose to stand in faith, knowing our victory is won and our future is secure. And if you need to hear that this morning, if life's a bit tough for you, I want you to hear that message. Stand secure and strong in faith because of the resurrection. Amen.
Amen. Amen.